Rich Kemble, Carrie Haskell with you, and we are so pleased to be joined on the telephone by one of our favorite people to talk with on the show, a talented actor you know from his roles on Newhart, Deadwood, True Blood, films like Blade Runner and Coal Miner's Daughter. He's the author of a wonderful memoir, Yes, I'm That Guy, The Rough and Tumble Life of a Character Actor, now available as an audiobook as well. We are happy to welcome back William Sanderson. Bill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and happy Valentine's Day.
Well, thank you. The same to you and Sharon, who are, coming up on 29 years of marriage? Is that right?
Yes, and together a little longer. Thank you. And you've got your own lengthy marriage, right?
Yeah, we're hanging in there. We're doing not as long as you guys, but we're doing pretty well. Thank you.
I'll say I look at the pic from the photos on Instagram with your son. What a handsome young man! I sound like I'm trying to get a job from you, but he is. And the dog, was his name Ginger? What was her name?
It is Ginger. Yeah, you're right on top of things here.
Well, she's lying in the sun, and my dog does that. And even though it's cold outside, they're under a cover, and the sun is hitting them. So forgive me from, I'm a little nervous. I tried to call, and I think I had the wrong number. So,
well, that's on me, Bill. I gave you the wrong number. I typed it in wrong.
Well, anyway, shame on you. No.
We are so excited that your book is an audiobook. Was this in the plans all along?
Well, I've wanted to do it for some time, but what made it happen was my voice agent said, you've got to do an audiobook, but I didn't want to fly to California. There are other people that would have done it and have expressed the interest, but you have to rent a hotel room, and but he just made everything happen. And when I found out who he's working with, some of the biggies from Valerie Burton Alley to I'm not supposed to mention his name, James Patterson, I said, well, I'm in good hands. So anyway, it's because of Zach Kaplan that it happened, and Sharon's technical skills. But the miracle was it's less than 2 miles from my house. They found a production house, and that young rappers opened this production house. And so that made it a lot easier on me. At the end of each day, I was fairly tired, but it wasn't like being 3,000 miles in a strange place. It was great.
Well, it's wonderful. I enjoyed listening to it and hearing the stories again. Now, I want to bring up, because we've talked with you about the book a couple times, but it is filled with so many wonderful stories. And I don't know if we've ever asked you about this as a young guy growing up in Memphis, about your unique ability to get into sporting events without a ticket.
Yeah, and that's some of the things I'm not that proud of. Proud of the book, but not proud of it. I was saving money, usually. But it's funny, if you walk through the place brazenly like you belong, it's amazing what you can get away with. But I've used everything that I can imagine to get in the stadium to see a football game. I'd climb the fence in the back and drop down to the ground. Never hurt myself. And I think in the book I talk about sneaking in a truck full of band instruments. But it's been a long time since I didn't pay. I'll put it that way.
Well, in New York City, and we talked about this a little bit, but when you got to New York City, you're working as a bartender, deciding you want to do acting, and you got very good, you mentioned in the book, about playing what you call street bums.
Yeah, I was fascinated. I was never as good as I thought I was, but playing a tramp was in a classic Broadway play they had done on Broadway. We did it in a showcase, but it sold out all the time. I played a guy who was a a tramp, had true insight into what was going on in the world. He was so drunk, and he had, but let's say he was a drunk, had true insight. Was it a touch insane? Hey, listen, let me, while we're stopped, if I can't think of the word, will you fill it in for me?
I'll do the best I can. Sure, it won't be as good as yours.
Well, that happens, so it's a common word to fly out of my mind. But so I thought you can say a good bit through a tramp. And so it ended up, I played two or three characters in different plays, but I did go over the edge, not living on the edge. I dressed like a bum, and I panhandled a little bit. The director told me, go out there on the street and panhandle and see what you learn and feel. Had a guy draw a knife on me one time, and that stopped me from panhandling. But I don't know. I used to go in my speech building, believe it or not, I had speech class. And this wonderful teacher said, well, if you're going to wear the costume, you can't come in here because you're scaring people. I lived the part, and that's part of the miracle to get through it, and I used a lot of it on the Newhart show. I'm thankful for the plays I did do in New York. I often played the town crazy, surprise.
Well, one of the biggest breaks in your early career was the opportunity to be in a terrific film, Coal Miner's Daughter. What was the experience like working with Sissy Spacek?
Oh, what a jewel. She is so gracious, and I would watch people compliment her, and she'd just say thank you. And it was hard when that film did well, and I was beginning to get a few compliments. And so I just thought the world of her. She took me up into her suite and played the music before we started filming, and I thought it was Loretta Lynn. She said, no, that's me. And she was just terrific. You know, what I regret is I don't know if I ever got that word to her, but I think I put it in the book if she ever reads it.
Absolutely. Now, the acting fraternity is pretty solid, pretty supportive as a rule, but that's not always the case. And there's a great story in the book about an actor, and I won't mention him by name, but he became famous for doing a commercial and then had a TV show and a movie. And he suggested to you at one point that perhaps your range was a little bit limited, but in the long run, though it's not a competition, I'd say you've won that battle, Bill.
Well, I don't know. I'm so glad that I said if somebody reads the book, I hope they enjoy the behind-the-scenes stories that about the great stars, directors, and writers I worked with. I said I learned a lot from all of them. So I don't know if that follows from what you're saying, but I still have nightmares occasionally of experiences with people, but the great majority of people are good and will help you and want to. Brian Cox is one, I'll drop his name, he's on that show right now on HBO, but they want you to do well and they help you, but some of them will maybe be more of a rival than a friend.
Well, one of the people who certainly helped you was director Ridley Scott when you were playing Sebastian in Blade Runner. And I love the direction that he gave you. It was so simple, but you said it made all the difference when he told you that your character was a completely innocent man.
Yeah. And I just took him at his word. He whispered it to me, and I quit worrying about anything but trying to give him what he asked for. And I guess the intellectuals, if he's working with the genetic system and experimenting, might say he wasn't innocent, but Ridley was a great, and he's kept working and making many movies, and it was an honor to work with him. Now, something that I didn't know and didn't absorb till really the end of the film. This other star, Rutger Hauer, went to him and said, I'd like to cut that scene with William Sanderson where I kill him, because I've already killed enough people. And that kind of bothered me, you know, but because I die pretty well. Maybe I may be right now, but it's, you always have the stars. Harrison Ford was a great star to work with, and so was Rutger Hauer. I respected his acting. Bless his heart, he passed away a few months ago. But I'm a journeyman and often the supporting actor, and got to be careful. Yes, sir, I'll whatever you say. But and then try to, if you have your moment, try to, you know, come up with something.
I don't know if we've talked about this film before, because I'm a big fan of it. As I'm a history teacher, my full-time job, and so I absolutely loved both Gettysburg and then Gods and Generals. Jeff Daniels has been on our show a number of times. That was really a wonderful movie.
Which one? I'm sorry.
Gods and Generals.
Oh yeah, and Jeff is a wonderful actor, and is he still on Broadway right now?
I think he just got done a month or so ago.
Oh, and you taught civics, right?
Civics and history, yes, sir.
Oh my gosh! Well, I was lucky to be on the Gods and Generals, and if they had done Last Full Measure, A.P. Hill had a big part, but of course they didn't do it. And but thanks for noticing it, and. You ask good questions. You've done acting yourself and directing and you name it. I was reading about you, and I don't know when you sleep, but congratulations to you.
Well, I appreciate that. We're talking to the wonderful William Sanderson here on Downtown. You made such an impact as Lippy Jones in Lonesome Dove. Did you have any idea at the time what a big success that would be? That was a cultural phenomenon when that debuted.
It did. Every actor in town and East Coast wanted to be in it, so I was glad to get on it. Tommy Lee Jones and Robert Duvall. And among other wonderful actors. And, of course, to refresh anybody's memory, I played a piano-playing guy in a small town in Lonesome Dove, but he was the only one that the town whore wouldn't sleep with. That was not a problem. Anyway, it was fun. And the book was so great. Pulitzer, how do you pronounce it? Pulitzer Prize, Larry McMurtry. And I'd worked with a screenwriter a few times. And if I can digress a little bit, the screenwriter sort of liked me, and luckily, but he confided in me, I can't get my money. I can't get my money. And I'm thinking, look, these people, I've had a number of them, big directors, that they're owed money. So just surviving Hollywood and ending up happy and gainfully retired or whatever is a good thing. This was Bill Whitley who confided in me. I was shocked, though. I thought, I'd pay the screenwriter. He won an Emmy, I think. Anyway, I don't know. Things. I give you these non sequiturs. Thanks for listening.
Bill, this is Rich's producer, Carrie. You had played a lot of frontier characters that really seemed to connect with the audiences. Is there something about that type of character, that, you know, out on the wild frontier, the Western, that appealed to you? Or
growing up, I fantasized about Lee Marvin, and I got to do a movie with him later in Charles Bronson. But yeah, and the Magnificent Seven, I mean, those guys were stars, but they all became stars. I would have liked to have gotten the Magnificent 7. But being out, and I was doing some faking when riding those horses, and especially in the rain or at night or on a hill, but somehow got through it. And I don't know how to answer your question except that, were they the great unwashed? Tom Selleck put me in a couple of movies, and they weren't necessarily redeeming characters. Well, one was, and I don't know. Maybe I give that off. Sidekick, unwashed, I don't know. But they're fun, and I just loved the actors that I met, and I liked the Wranglers a lot. And I gave a party for them on Lonesome Dove. And the producer, what a piece of work he was. He said, that's rude to give the Wranglers a party. I guess I was supposed to give the whole cast a party. Like Chuck Norris would give the extras a party. Then he'd give the principals. Or Burt Reynolds would give you cowboy boots from jackets. But and for Lonesome Dove, I was getting scale. But I was on a hit TV series and making root beer commercials as a corporate spokesman. On my day off, I'd charter a plane to San Antonio and do a voiceover, so I didn't care about money.
Well, I think in your answer, you may have hit right on it, that you found those characters fun. It was a way to sort of live out, you know, a lot of kids' dreams of being a cowboy.
Oh, yeah. That was, I guess, what took me away from law. You know, I just read an article that said he dropped out of law school. Same article said I graduated from SMU. No, I went to SMU, ran out of money, and I went to law school at Memphis State. But I didn't want him to put, I did graduate. People will write some bad things sometimes, but I never took the bar exam, and how I got into that, I don't know. But the fun, that's what pulled me into acting, pretending to be something I'm not, as Lee Marvin said.
You got a chance to play another great Western character in Deadwood, and you write in the book that you believe that you and David Milch are kindred spirits. Can you explain that?
Ooh. He's got a book coming out. You know, he has Alzheimer's. Everybody knows it. And he's got a memoir comes out in September, I think, where he struggles with it. He called me the imp of the perverse. I had to look it up. But a person that does the wrong thing just because it's wrong. Edgar Allan Poe wrote a short story, and I'd say to myself, no, David Milch is the imp of the perverse. Would his family mind that everybody knows he gambled away $100 million, lost his houses and his health? And that's my word, peripatia, and I'm scared of it to this day, reversal of fortune. But thank you for letting me babble. David,
not babbling at all, my friend. We could listen to you tell stories all day. And I say, I read your book twice, and then listening to you tell the stories in the audiobook just makes it even better.
Oh, you're so kind. And I owe you. What can I say? Usually we make that joke in Hollywood, say, who dropped out? Why did I be on your show? But you refreshed my memory last time, maybe a half dozen times, huh?
I think so, yeah. But you're always high on our list. We absolutely love talking with you and are so grateful anytime you come on with us. So, Bill, we appreciate you stopping by today. We wish you much success with the audio version of Yes, I'm That Guy, The Rough and Tumble Life of a Character Actor. We hope you'll come back again and hope that you and Sharon have a happy Valentine's Day and continue to do well.
Back at you, and same to you. Thank you for everything. Can I real quickly tell that show I did, True Blood, Vampire Porn, perhaps they've got a podcast that started today, and there are two wonderful actresses running it, Truest Blood, and they hope to do another series but it'll be a while before they get that off the ground. HBO. Thank you, though, Rich.
Well, that sounds great. Bill, thank you as always, my friend. We appreciate it. Hope to talk with you again down the road.
Okay. I hope your team won last night. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks a lot, Bill. That is a wonderful William Sanderson with us on Downtown. The book is called Yes, I'm That Guy, The Rough and Tumble Life of a Character Actor, now out on audiobook as well. William Sanderson with Ray Richmond.